Amen. Please open to Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 10. Lord's Day number 10. Please answer the questions. What do you understand by the providence of God? The almighty, everywhere, present power of God, whereby, as it were, by his hand, he still upholds heaven and earth with all creatures, and so governs them that herbs and grass, rain and drought, fruitful and barren years, meat and drink, health and sickness. Indeed, all things come not by chance, but by his fatherly hand. What does it profit us to know that God created and by his providence upholds all things, that we may be patient in adversity, thankful in prosperity? Amen. Anytime we talk about providence, by the time we're done explaining what providence is, the response, typically, I guess there could be more than two responses, but typically, you're either profoundly at peace with God or comforted by God, or it can cause a great deal of bitterness. And so when we talk about the providence of God, we acknowledge that God is not an absentee God who is on vacation. In fact, he upholds and governs every single event that happens in our world. He's not aloof, but he is coordinating all things, ultimately for his glory, but it includes every season of life that we experience as Christians. Health and sickness, riches and poverty. All things come not by chance, but by his fatherly hand. And we can confess that and have a conceptual understanding of what that means. But and when we get into the nitty-gritty of our life, especially when we get to not to the prosperity part, but the rainy part or the sickness part of our life, that's when we can get into confusion or get into all kinds of struggles that we have dealing with what is God doing in my life? Why is he allowing this to happen? If he is so in charge, if he is such a good God and loving God, why is he allowing this particular event to happen in my life? Why is he allowing these tragedies? Why is he allowing this, these unfortunate circumstances, these financial difficulties? Well, and when we learn throughout Scripture multiple, countless examples of all of these saints of God experiencing through horrible things, but understanding at the end, seeing God's hand in it all, and I'll just point to one example in the life of Joseph. If there was anybody that could have been bitter about God's providence, it would be Joseph. Joseph, who was betrayed by his own brothers, sold into slavery, and left for dead, until they sold him as a slave. And he did nothing wrong. He wasn't particularly judged for any sin that he did, but all of these things happened. And then even as he was carried into Egypt as a slave, the text says, or Moses says, that God was with him. And so the story continues. He goes into jail. The Pharaoh needs a dream interpreter. Joseph fulfills those needs of Pharaoh to interpret those dreams and then gains the trust of Pharaoh. and eventually gets into power. And the things that Joseph prophesied through the dreams in regards to the famine, he was able to be in a position to save not only his family, but the remnant, the people of God. Otherwise, they would suffer and die because of the famine. But what's interesting is when Joseph first meets his brothers, after all that time has passed, it could have been resentment, it could have been bitterness towards his brothers, towards God. But yet instead, what we see in Genesis 45, when he first sees his brothers, he says, But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. So he's holding them accountable. He's telling them what they did because you sold me here. But don't be grieved or angry, for God set me before you to preserve life. Now, I don't know at what point did Joseph understand that this clicked for him. But perhaps during the dream interpretations, maybe when the famine hit, then he understood, oh, that's why God allowed this to happen in my life. I'm pretty sure that when Joseph was in a hole, left to die, he probably wasn't thinking very positive thoughts about God or about himself or about his life. He didn't understand. None of us understand. We as a reader understand with a fuller perspective because we can look from the outside looking in. But Joseph, in the middle of it, probably didn't understand until later on. And that's exactly how providence works. That in the middle of our trial, we never fully understand what God is doing when it's supposed to. That's why Paul says that we have faith. We live by faith, not by sight. God doesn't reveal all the plans that he has for us. It'd be nice, wouldn't it? We don't have to struggle over what decisions to make or what jobs to go to or all these big life decisions. It'd be nice to have it all mapped out, but then would it be faith? It would be confidence in ourselves. And so, we have a high view of God's sovereignty, not because we want to make God impersonal, but actually it's the exact opposite. The benefit of embracing the providence of God as described in the scriptures and summarized here in the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 10, are that we can be patient in adversity. We can be thankful in prosperity. And for what is future, have good confidence. That's the key right there. And other translations can say trust or confidence. It's in the middle of it. Do you have trust, not in the circumstances, but in your Father who is sovereign over your circumstances? Do you trust that he is good, even when he sends evil your way? But we understand that even, and ultimately, there's only one person who suffered evil as an innocent person, and that's Jesus Christ. That he was convicted wrongly. And it was a joy to him to go to the cross. Because by doing so, he could call you son or daughter. So ultimately, when we are in the middle of our trial, we look to our Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that God sovereignly ordained that evil to happen upon the sinless, righteous Son of God. And if He is able to give us His Son, how much will He also give us all things? And so, let's conclude our summary of Lord's Day 10 with that.